Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Life's a Beach. I'm your host, Alexia Inman. So in today's episode, I kind of want to touch on a subject that's tends to be a little taboo to discuss, especially in the world of beach volleyball. But what I'm hoping is that we can kind of lift the veil over the subject matter a little bit and start to create more open conversations within our community, because I've noticed at least that it's something that really plagues the mind of a lot of beach volleyball players around the world. And I'm super excited to be able to dive into this conversation with my first guest ever, Molly Turner. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Molly as a beach volleyball player, first of all, how dare you? And so second of all, I wanted to just give a little background about her history throughout the sport. So I think the most exceptional way to describe Molly in one word is hustler. So she grew up in Illinois, and she's kind of described her road to success in the world of beach volleyball as a climb, but it's a climb she's met head on. She followed her dreams to play beach volleyball in college when she walked onto GCU, where she was a four-year starter, culminating in an All-American senior season, and was named the GCU Student Athlete of the Year. Super casual stuff. Her relentless attitude since then has led her to successful opening years on the professional circuit, where she's achieved multiple top 10 finishes in AVP tournaments, achieving a personal best last year with a fifth in Seattle and a gold medal in last year's Norseca event in the Dominican Republic. I met Molly about 3 years ago at one of Holly McPeak's infamous lessons together, which I have so fondly nicknamed the most intense hit workout you will ever put yourself through. I was still a pretty young player at the time. I was just a little baby coming out of her freshman year of college. And Molly was a seasoned collegiate player coming off an All-American senior season with GCU. So to say I was intimidated to go through an hour training session with her would be the understatement of the year. But within, I think, like less than 2 minutes of talking with her, my worries completely melted away. She was just so welcoming to me despite our age and skill set difference. And I remember her being so complimentary of the way I had handled myself as a freshman playing on the one court during a time when the one court in the NCAA were host to names that are frequented in top finishes in international beach volleyball events these days. Her kindness made me an instant fan of hers, but watching her play during that hour-long lesson made me a lifelong fan of hers as a beach volleyball player. I chose hustler as the word to describe Molly because that's the best way to describe the way she attacks the game of volleyball. During that 1 hour lesson we had together, her infectious work ethic and the desire she had to make every single rep count rubbed off on me, and I had one of the best lessons I've ever had in my life. Needless to say, since that lesson, I've followed Molly's professional career, and I am so happy to report that not only has this hustler mentality not faded from her game, but if it's even possible, it's more apparent than ever. And not only does she possess the hustler mentality on the court, but she takes it off the court in all aspects of her life. Most recently, she's become a super active voice in the beach volleyball community, running a blog where she posts about a range of topics in the world of beach volleyball. Most prominently, she's talked openly about the ideas of body image and how that has affected her as a beach volleyball player. And with that, I am so excited to welcome our very first guest to the podcast to discuss this idea of body image in the game of beach volleyball. With me today is Molly Turner. Molly, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to be the first guest. I had no idea.
I literally could not have picked a better first guest. You are truly great, especially when talking about this subject. I mean, you're so passionate about it. I think anyone who reads your blog posts or scrolls through your Instagram can see that. So,
yeah, it's definitely a topic that I've grown to be comfortable with. But yeah, it's like one of those topics that is a little cringy for others. So I'm really thankful that you're kind of bringing this to the surface.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. And I feel like it's a good time to do it. Before we get into that, though, I just, you know, want to see how are you doing? Like, I know obviously the world is shut off right now, especially our normal day to day thing. I know you're such a serious competitor and you're training. You're normally training. You get up at like 6 a.m. to train, don't you normally?
Yeah.
So like that's not happening right now. So like what's the day look like for Molly now that volleyball's kind of, you know, had to take a back seat a little bit?
So it's been a little bit wonky. Yeah. At first, when it all started, I actually was going through some like back injuries, so it was a little bit of a blessing. But as we're kind of going through it now, and I'm like able to play, and like I'm full out, I am like going stir crazy. Luckily, I've had like access to weights and stuff, and since the beaches are open now, I'm sand conditioning. But yeah, the whole fierce competitor side of me is like itching to play, but. It's like one of those things where there's really nothing that you can do about it. Like, I don't have FOMO, like fear of missing out. I'm not missing out on anything.
I know. That's actually an interesting point that you bring that up, because I mean, I'm the same way. I'm just like itching to play. And usually it's like the FOMO thing is real. Like in the normal day to day, like say it's just this was a normal summer. If I'm not playing for a day, like I feel like I am missing out, and I'm like, shoot, I'm not taking the opportunity to get better. And while other people could be, but like right now it's so interesting because literally nobody can.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to take that away, that FOMO a little bit.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because like if you don't practice one day, in my head, I'm like, I'm falling behind.
Right.
So it's pretty crazy. I mean, like we've all had like a couple months off from playing, or I mean, we've been able to, I'm sure, pepper with like family members or friends, but it has been really interesting lately. So the adjustments are kind of upside down, but I'm doing the best I can. So, and the people around me are, you know, supporting me. And so it's been okay.
That's good. But, yeah. I mean, I feel like that this point, okay, is about as good as it can get in this kind of scenario for anyone.
Totally.
It's hard to kind of like force yourself to be like, I'm doing great, because like at the end of the day, it's our whole lives were uprooted.
Exactly. And everyone's going through it. The entire world is. And I keep telling everyone that, you know, comes to me and talks to me, or if we just have a conversation, I'm like, this is never going to happen again. Like this exact moment. So, I mean, like we couldn't have even planned for this, and emotionally, physically, mentally. So
no, in no way, in no capacity could we have.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's definitely a weird time. But like you said, with the back injury, I had a similar situation where I was coming off a foot injury, and it was getting pretty bad right in the middle of collegiate season. So I was like, I looked at it the same way. I was like, okay, weird, a really weird blessing in disguise, but nonetheless a blessing in disguise to take that time off.
And it's something that I think our sport struggles with specifically. We have trouble recovering and taking off days and like feeling okay about it. So I'm sure during your college season, I mean, you were expected to push through regardless of the pain. I'm sure that they were taking care of it and managing it. But it's like in your mind, it's like, I got to do this for my team.
Exactly.
I got to push through.
Yeah. I'm like, carry me off the court in a body bag. I'm not playing. Like, we've got to get to NCAAs. But then, you know, once I step back from that a little bit, I'm like, okay, maybe that was a little too much.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you guys were having an incredible season.
Oh,
my
thank
God.
You. Yeah. So, I mean, we were, it made it all the much more harder for us to
That broke my heart.
I know. That was a tough day for everyone in college athletics. It was actually crazy. I mean, you know, I feel like for the AVP and professional, it's kind of been like a slow dwindling of like the canceling tournaments. But like to see for the collegiate side, for all sports, just one day for everything to just be shut off. That was a weird scenario.
Yeah. And it felt surreal.
Yeah.
And when I was like, when everything was like happening and everything was canceling super quickly, I mean, like, I mentally was just like, what is going to happen? And I couldn't even imagine what was going to happen. And what has played out, if you asked me if this was a possibility in like January, I would have laughed in your face.
No, so, seriously, like 3 weeks before, my dad had like sent me a message and he was like, please make sure you're putting on more hand sanitizer. Like, this virus is bad. And I literally laughed and I showed my friends. I was like, he's so stupid. This is ridiculous. But now here we are. We've been like in our homes for 2 months. It's crazy.
I know. What the heck?
I have no idea. But I think what's like most, not maybe not most interesting, but like most broadcasted right now, and even harder than just the not like FOMO of not playing, is the idea that, I mean, at least for me, is that I'm working out less.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, there's like, in my mind, obviously we're both very competitive, but like there's the aspect of I'm working out less, I'm getting worse. There's that. And then I think in an even scarier, more real sense is the idea of like, I'm working out less I'm getting out of shape, and then all these like swirling, like you've actually brought up one of your blog posts, the idea of quarantine body shaming. Yeah. And I feel like that is becoming very prevalent right now.
Yeah. And it's like hitting everyone.
Yeah.
People that I personally have experienced that are like mentally incredibly tough and very confident in their bodies and confident in their intake of food, they're having issues too. And that is what like made me be like, what is going on?
Right.
Like how is this like taking a toll on every single person?
And right.
Kind of what I like came up with after thinking about it and like writing that blog post is, I mean, like we're stocked up on food because we're told to be,
yep.
We have, a short walk to the kitchen, access to food 24/7. And then like, you don't have distractions anymore. You don't have that distraction to keep you away from the fridge, you know, like
exactly.
We would be at practice for 2 hours. We're sitting and we're looking at our kitchen.
Right. It's so. Like, yeah, I'm like doing work and I'm like, I get bored and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll make a snack. Or I guess I'll bake a dozen brownies. Like literally, I'm not even kidding. 2 nights ago, I finished my work for a summer school class and I was like, well, might as well make 2 dozen brownies tonight. I don't know why. I don't know why I did it, but I did it.
Everyone's baking. That yes. is like such a common thing and I love it. And
yes.
I personally, when people post food on their Instagram stories, I will never get like mad or offended. If anything, I'm like, please post your banana bread. Like I would like to see how it turned out.
Okay. But, well, maybe I'm posting my baked goods tonight. You just gave me the motivation I needed.
Tag me.
That's all I need to hear.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I mean, for me, when this all started, I was not in a really good mind space, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And since my body was like kind of broken down from a back injury, I was like, uh-huh. okay, I can't work out.
Yeah.
So then I was trying to eat less to compensate for not working out as much.
Yep.
And that was just an issue in itself. And I see a lot of people, you know, testing out diets during this time because they're like, I need a fix. I need something.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to hear a little bit more about that kind of idea from you, because I know that that's not the idea of like eating less because you're working out left. I mean, that's something I relate to so heavily. And I know
yeah.
that that's not a new concept for you. So if you want to just like touch upon how that's kind of shifted throughout your career and life and playing, and just that idea a little bit.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, I'm not like a licensed therapist or anything
sure.
with eating disorders, but I, you know, experienced my own last year, mid-season of AVP. It's difficult, and I know that we'll probably touch more on this later, but I mean, we're pretty much naked. You don't leave yeah. anything for the imagination.
It's seriously, I say it's the most sexualized pastime besides modeling.
It absolutely. And, you know, with a bikini comes the expectation of a, like a hot, sexy body.
Right.
And, I mean, even for guys like a ripped,
yeah.
you know, cut body too. But yeah, I just like, for me, you know, if I didn't feel like I was putting in work or if I wasn't working out hard enough, I would like lower my intake of food
mm-hmm.
and it would be a punishment. And
yeah.
I started to see myself kind of go into a bit of a starvation mode. And
right.
then all of a sudden, like, I don't know if you can relate, but all of a sudden your body's like, I need food now. And if I don't get food, I will like break down. And
literally your body,
like,
yeah, your body goes into that starvation mode because it just
yeah.
thinks that like our ancestors, that used to happen because they quite literally couldn't catch their food. I mean, we're
right.
not living in that kind of scenario, but our body still goes through that process.
Exactly. And, you know, it's something like, I know a lot of people are kind of like off put by the word binge eating,
yeah.
But it's very common. It's like
yeah.
when you don't get enough food and you feel like you're starving yourself and your body reacts in that way, then you just will eat anything in your sight and you won't stop until you feel satisfied. And at that point, when you feel starvation, you're already kind of too deep into it. So
right.
you kind of just have to let your body do its thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard, especially like right now, like that's just every day. That's a tough struggle to live through. But right now, like you were saying, with the access to the food and like that kind of thing, I've been seeing it, unfortunately, that exact cycle where people be like, I'm going to cut out the calories just because I need to not eat less because I'm moving less. But then
right.
it's that cycle of binge eating where they just see the bag of chips on the counter and their body's like, help me, I need to eat. And it just spirals.
Exactly. And something that I wrote in my blog post a bit, it's like, if that does happen, it's like, you kind of have to respect your body. Right. Whenever I would binge eat after limiting food, I hated myself. Like, I would look in the mirror and be like, why did you just eat this much food?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if that is the case, and if, you know, you do binge eat, that's normal.
Yeah.
And if it's like stress eating, that's also normal. But you kind of have to, you know, accept the fact that you just ate all that stuff, move right. on with your day, or if it's at night, go to bed. And when you wake up the next morning, you have to make sure that you eat breakfast.
Right.
And just continue with your life. It's, you shouldn't compensate the next day for what you had the day before. And I personally struggle with that.
Totally. I mean, I've done the same thing before. And one of the things that it was so cheesy, I read it somewhere in a blog post, and it was like one of those like inspirational, like with all the pretty pictures. And I was like, oh God. But something that they said, it was like, be gentle with yourself. Like
yeah.
treat yourself like you're your own friend. Like if your friend had done that and was coming to you and was like, I don't want to eat again. Like I did so bad. Would you be like the way that like, at least for me, the way I talk to myself after I do something like that, I'm just like, I would never say that to one of my friends if this happened. So why can't we share that same respect for ourselves when we like mess up like that?
Exactly. And I think it's hard too. It's like most of the time when I am disappointed in my eating patterns, it's internal. Like my thoughts are like, you're disgusting. I look in the mirror, I'm like, you look fat.
Yeah.
And it's internal. And it's, if I were to say those things externally, I feel like I'd be more mindful of them.
Right.
But
totally.
It's quick thoughts, like here and there, it's like super quick. And you just kind of don't even realize you're being that terrible to yourself.
No, because your mind is always racing with thoughts. So it's just like another thing that's just going through your mind.
Exactly. And another thing that I think a lot of people kind of miscalculate is, you know, listening to your hunger cues.
Yes.
I think that a lot of people will, you know, notice that they're hungry and then they'll eat, and maybe they eat a little bit too much, or right. they feel that hunger cue end and they're like full, but they continue eating. And I think it's kind of just respecting your body. Like you don't want to sit on the couch bloated, feeling gross.
No.
At least I hate that feeling.
It's the worst feeling ever. Oh my gosh.
But I mean, just respecting your body and feeling those two cues. Like if you're hungry, eat. If you're full, maybe take a step back and be like, am I actually full? Should I finish? Or should I save this for tomorrow or later? You know?
Right. And I feel like right now is kind of, it's kind of a unique, and something I've actually been focusing on is listening to those hunger cues, because it's a unique time right now where we have the opportunity to do that in like normal day-to-day life. Like when we're running to practice or something, yeah, sometimes I got to throw a bar down my throat and I don't really have time to stop and be mindful and think about how delicious every bite tastes. But
yeah.
like right now we have the time to kind of sit, like enjoy the food that we're making. And then when we're done, be like, evaluate our body and be like, I'm feeling good. Like that was it. I'm content.
Yeah. I think too, listening to your cravings,
yes.
I think, I mean, for me, when I am craving, let's say I'm craving a chocolate chip cookie and there's people that will do everything to avoid the cookie. They'll try, you know, alternatives like healthy almond flour cookies,
yep.
but it's not the same. And your craving won't go away until you taste what exactly that you want. And during this quarantine time, I've had to like sit back and be like, what am I feeling like for dinner? Like,
yeah.
is that something that I want to eat for dinner? And then it's like, the other night I was craving like a big burger from like a place down the street in Hermosa. And I felt guilty because I was like, oh my gosh, like I was freaking out because I was like, how many calories, like all this stuff. And
right.
I'm like, no, like my body wants this. It's telling me it wants it.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it for it.
Your body does. Yeah. Your body doesn't send you messages for no reasons. Like our bodies are so smart. So if it's telling you like in your brain, like burger, 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 go eat the burger, please.
Yes, don't eat a salad. Eat
no,
the
eat the burger.
Yes, exactly.
I know. I mean, that's one of those big things. It's like once you can accept that, because that's a hard one to accept what your body's telling you and like respect it, because
yeah.
it's like that thing where you're like, I don't trust it. Like I read the information that says if I eat less calories, I'll be skinnier and I'll look like the models, all this. But once you can get in tune with your body and just respect what it's telling you, man, it's so nice.
Oh my gosh. And it's like the communication between your body. It sounds weird because obviously you can't like look down at yourself and be like, hey, are you hungry?
Yeah.
But it's like, you start to feel like yourself again. You start to feel like, okay, like I trust it. Like I trust myself. And I definitely can't say that I'm perfecting it in any way, shape or form, but it's something that I'm more aware of. And yeah. I can kind of take a step back and be like, okay, Molly, like you're overreacting. Like, let's remember what we learned. Let's apply right. that to the situation.
Right. And I mean, it's definitely a learning process. Like, I don't think it's there ever can be a point where you come where it's just mastered, because it feels it's getting different and it's shaped. Like, here we go with this wrench in the plan of quarantine. Like, that immediately changes the whole aspect around it.
Yeah.
So it's all, you're always going to be like learning and shifting. I don't think there's ever one time where it becomes mastered.
Right. And it sometimes, I mean, I've noticed since my eating disorder from last year, I've gotten over it. What I experienced last year, but it morphs itself into something else.
Exactly.
So let's say like last month I was having bad, like body shaming, just verbally in the mirror. It sometimes then it morphs to, you know, eating less or not eating bread. It like morphs itself into different things. And once you kind of identify that it's morphed into something else and you're aware of that and you can attack it that way, that's like when it becomes a little bit healthier being, you know, aware. That's just like a common word. It's just like being aware of what your body is telling you, what you're experiencing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. And what I really like that you just said is that idea of the morphing, because that is something that I see happen so easily just with social media and like the ideas of the greater good of people, is that everything's becoming morphed. And something really big that I've noticed is that the idea of one's self-worth is tied so closely to the idea of self-image these days.
Oh my gosh.
Which Absolutely. Is, it's hard to see, and it's, but it's also hard to suck yourself out of it. So, I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that and how you try and avoid that kind of plague.
Yeah, I think it's tough. And I think recently I've gotten a little bit better at it, but previously I would look at myself in the mirror, you know, check like to see like the size of my body.
Yeah.
And if I woke up and I felt full or I felt bloated, like the rest of the day was just crap.
Oh my gosh. You're preaching to the choir. It literally morphed my outlook of the whole day. If I woke up and I had like a little, like, let's say not even like from food, like water weight.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just like instantly cranky.
Exactly. And then you start to feel gross in every single outfit that you wear, and nothing feels correct. And then you go through the day and you just feel like people are looking at you a certain way, and you feel like people are, you know, seeing what you're feeling. And that's totally not the case.
Right.
And so, yeah, your self-worth just like, and your confidence just tanks.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it just, it's all day you feel that with you. And then on top of that, just for normal day-to-day like outfits, then try having that mentality as going to a practice on the beach.
Oh,
and it's 90 degrees and you're sweating your ass off, but you're like, I don't want to take my shirt off because I'm bloated today.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is literally last season for me. So when I was in the season, like, and I was experiencing body shaming, like to the extreme. I, you know, went to, I think it was Chicago, the Chicago AP, and it was like peak. Like I was not in a good place. And it was hot. And I'm talking like when you're in your bikini, you are dying.
Yeah.
So I mean, I have photos of me playing in Chicago. I would not take off my high-waisted leggings. I was sweating to death. I would not take them off. I was so embarrassed of my body. And I look back at photos and I'm like, what was I seeing? Like, what was I feeling? It's just like, it's incredible that you can feel that way and look back and like, you can't like put two and two together. It just doesn't make sense.
I know. That's great. I mean, I'm this the same thing for me growing up playing in youth tournaments. I literally refused to take my shirt off when I played because I was so self-conscious, and I would think so much about what my stomach looked like when I was running up to the net after serving, that it would literally affect how I was playing. Like I would start playing worse because I was so in my head about how I looked. And now I think about that and I'm like, goodness gracious, why was I ever letting myself live like that?
Exactly. And it's hard because people outside of your body can't really relate. I mean, right. I could, if I were to be like, hey mom, like, cause she was there at the tournament in Chicago. If she asked me just like a casual question, like, oh, like, why aren't you, you know, wearing a bikini? Aren't you hot? Just like something very casual. Yeah. And if I were to have been open to her and be like, mom, I feel really fat and I'm just disgusted with myself. And I'm embarrassed that someone's going to think that like, I am not worthy of playing at a peak level because of my stomach. Yes. Like, my mom would look at me and be like, you're insane.
It's literally like, if I feel the same way. I mean, you open up to one person, they'll like, there's so many good support systems, mm-hmm. but it's so hard when you're in it to kind of see that. Cause all you can think is just like, at least for me, it was like, they're all thinking about my stomach. I can't. And they're going to think I suck because I'm like, I'll have a little more bloat than everyone else.
Right. And so something that I thought about when I was like kind of thinking about this topic was, I remember a couple years ago, Brooke Sweat is like one of my favorite players to watch. Uh-huh. She was wearing in one of, I think it was Chicago, like years ago, she was in a championship game.
Yeah.
She was wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I was live streaming it on YouTube before it was on Amazon Prime. And someone made a comment on the comment section and goes, why is she wearing so much clothing? And like, would not let it go. And in my head, I'm like, one, like, leave it alone.
Right.
And two, like, then there's other people who are like, why is she wearing such a small bikini bottom? Like, I can see everything. So it's like this back and forth. And as if like, that's not the first thing on my mind, like that is in my mind way in the far back and it could pop itself up right away. And exactly. I'm like, okay, there's fans around, there's family around, there's friends. It's just so much to think about.
Right.
So.
I mean, as a beach volleyball player, I just feel like the dangers of the idea of body dysmorphia are just amplified to such an extreme, because it's like there's that where there's, you're always thinking about like there's people watching and there's fans and there's people, like, we know from experience, like, you see those comments of people being like, why is she wearing so many clothes, or why is her whole ass out, like, you know, people are saying it, so it's valid for us in the back of our minds to be worried about it. But I just feel like that it's amplifying the idea of body dysmorphia in our sport.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's something that like I could not get off of my mind when I played last year. And obviously I haven't really played this year, so I don't know if it's better, which kind of is nice to not have to worry about. But also it gives me a little bit of anxiety because I'm like, what am I going to do when I come back? Like, what's going to happen when I like wear a bikini when I play?
Right.
It's just, I mean, like, your body is just moving and flying in the air and making weird adjustments. And I mean, our sport is photographed and we get photos constantly. So you see your body in such a weird, like, twerking position. And it's like, oh my gosh, like that part of my body's fat, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate that after a tournament, is getting photos and like looking at them and be like, I'm disgusting.
Oh, I know. So I literally, I'll sit and analyze the photos for 2 hours. Like, I could be thinking about how well the tournament went, but I'll look through these pictures and be like, oh no, my left calf looks like it has a little cellulite on it. This is terrible.
It's so crazy that our minds go there.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think for me, it's been tough, but looking at photos of me playing, I have to accept the fact that I cannot look perfect while I'm diving for a ball.
Right.
Or when I'm trying to get up off the sand, it's just not possible. And there are photos of other athletes in certain situations that they do look, you know, appealing when they dive, but it's like one photo out of 100. Like, It's not because you're ugly. It's just because they got that one photo and they posted it.
The one money shot. It just works. Everyone's got, I swear, it's like the pattern is like one out of every 150 of them is the money shot. But once you find that one, you're like, okay, I'm set for life.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so true. But yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned this before we even like started recording, but I was talking to two girls from Illinois that are like, I believe they're around the age of 14.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, how are you guys doing? Like, how's quarantine? Asking them about, you know, how is like eating for them?
Because
they mentioned something. And one of the girls is like, well, I don't have a six pack yet. So, and I immediately was like, oh my gosh, like some of the best players in the like United States and in the world don't have six packs.
Right.
And they're Olympic level gold medalists.
Like the cream of the crop players.
Yeah. So, and then also you look at people with like six packs and they're not the best. Like they're not always the best. So it's just something to level out and take a look at.
Right. And I think, I know it's hard in our sport because it's like, not just in our sport, but in any like thing that like modeling, for example, the people who are in the best shape, at least in as far as pictures goes, are the ones that are like talked about and heralded. So like for beach volleyball, like, yeah, you're gonna see in the big ads more people with like six packs, and like there's so many, like the sport of beach volleyball is so athletic and there are so many people who are in incredible shape. It's really easy to sit there and be like, I'll never be able to look like that, even though we aren't meant to look like other people. Like it's right. Most of it's just genetics.
Yeah, and I mean, from personal experience, it is so hard to alter your genetics. Like, I personally know, after struggling for a year or plus, that I will never be a size zero, and I will never be able to get down to a point where I'm, like, absolutely just, like, cut up unless I actually hurt myself, unless I actually stop eating. And I had to come to that realization. It sucks every morning. You know, like sometimes I think about it and I'm like, man, I wish I looked like this, or I wish that my stomach was thinner. And it's sometimes just not possible in a healthy way. If I want to play at my best, I can't eat only 1,000 calories a day. I need to make sure that I'm fueling my body and respecting what it's doing for me.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's to be the best, you have to kind of let go a little, which is honestly the hardest part. And I totally get that and relate to that.
Yeah. So, it's just, I mean, our sport is just backwards.
It is. It's hard. It's really hard sometimes. It's hard. I think for me, the hardest part being in it and being so like worried about it wasn't even the hardest part. The hardest part has been stepping back from it a bit and realizing how backwards it really is.
Right.
And see, and it's hard to see other people in it, because now that I'm like on kind of on the other side of it, like I still struggle all the time with the idea of body image, but I see other people who are like in a place I was a couple years ago, and I'm like, I want to pull you all out of it, but it's so hard when you're in it.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a good point. I hear people, I'm sure you do, I mean, everyone does, I hear people saying that they want to start up a new diet, and it like makes me want to claw my eyes out, because I'm like, that's just, it doesn't work. And if you look at the diet industry, like they're a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's never actually proven to work for everyone. And everyone thinks that the keto diet will work for everyone's body, when that is not the case.
Right.
So I don't know like what kind of background you have on like that topic, but
I have quite a bit of, I have quite a bit, because I have done probably like every diet ever.
Yeah.
Like for me right now, I'm at a point where, because I'm doing like this whole other like gut healing, like protocol kind of stuff that I eat every day. I eat paleo. So basically grain free, gluten free and refined sugar free. But I've tweaked that to a point where it's like, I'll include foods that I know are okay with me if they're not paleo, because I'm not like gonna just like force myself into that. I'm like, oh, it's not paleo, I won't eat it. If like, if my body likes it, hell yeah, I'm gonna eat it. Like if my body liked eating a slice of pizza, dude, I'd be putting pizza down, but it doesn't work with my body. So it's just kind of like finding that balance of that, and not like, like you were saying, like pigeonholing yourself into a diet so you'll get that perfect figure, because that's just not how our genetics work.
Right. And I've seen, I mean, for me, I am in the same spot, tried every diet.
Yeah.
And it's like you come out of it and you've done, like hypothetically, you've done keto for a month and you're like, I'm feeling great, I feel skinny, I dropped weight. And then your body does a reverse effect. You start adding carbs to it.
Yep.
You add things that you haven't eaten in a month, and your body reacts the opposite that you would want. You know, like some people might, you know, gain weight from eating carbs again. It's just like your body's not made for that kind of stuff. And I think that people just, you know, want to test it out, kind of want to have like their own experience, which that's obviously fine.
Yeah. But
it's just, it's scary. And I mean, like me and you are both, you know, spokesperson people for it. It's like, it's scary to be deep in one of those diets and like feel like this is the only way out.
Right. And I think right now that it's even like you're saying, it's scary. A lot of people are in that position right now, because once quarantine started, I mean, these diets just got broadcasted on a huge spectrum, and everyone's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And now it's kind of getting to that, like, 1 month, 2 month point where the 1 month like joy was like, I lost all this weight, the immediate like, and it's not even like weight per se. It's like little things like water weight that's coming off. And right. Now they're like starting to see like that's the reverse effect, like you were talking about, like the weight's coming back. And I'm seeing a lot of people feeling extremely discouraged because they feel like they're doing the right thing, but it's actually not the right thing for their body.
Yeah. And something to remember that you mentioned earlier is your body knows what to do. Your body exactly. is so intelligent. It knows exactly what you need. It knows exactly what to get rid of when you eat something that maybe isn't that good. It knows to get rid of it. Right. And it's also important to understand that your body's ever changing. I mean, you could gain 10 pounds of healthy weight and then lose 5 pounds of healthy weight. And exactly. just your body is just constantly going back and forth. And it's nothing that you can actually do to stop it. Your body is growing like a plant. You can't stop yeah. it. So,
and you don't want to stop it either. I mean, you exactly. want it to do its thing.
So,
yeah, I mean, so there's that. That's so many good points there. And I think just right now, the idea of the quarantine, just kind of all of those things seem to be magnified. So it's so refreshing to hear your viewpoints and to share. And I'm hoping other people can relate too and see that they're not alone in feeling this type of way and that it does get better with all the testing, all the diets, and you figure it out eventually.
Exactly. And it's just falling in love with your body and meeting it where it's at. And maybe if you're not comfortable where you're at right now, like don't push yourself to get there tomorrow. Like right. it's going to take time and just being okay with that.
Right. Your body is intelligent. Like you said, it knows what it's doing.
Exactly. It knows how much to keep and how much to throw away. And you know, if you want some ice cream, then eat some freaking ice cream.
It's going to be happy. It's going to be happy about it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think the last thing I want to touch on a little bit, because I know we've been talking about, obviously for beach volleyball players, it's hard. The idea of body dysmorphia with our bodies on display is prevalent, but also it's another thing is that we both, like, I know for you, like you want to be in shape playing, like that's important. Like being in shape, yes, that helps our sport. Like I'm not sitting here trying to say like, all right, eat whatever and you're going to perform the best. And that's not what you're saying either.
Right.
So how have you found that kind of balance between like staying physically fit and in shape, but not hyper obsessing over it? Because I feel like for me, that's been my biggest struggle. And from what I've heard from other people who play the sport, that's a huge one.
Yeah, I am not perfect at this just yet. I personally feel really good when I work out every single day, whether that's yeah. big or small.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people work out to punish themselves for eating something that they regret, or they punish themselves for not looking correct in the mirror or what they want. So finding the balance between that is tough in itself. But in terms of you know, working out a little bit too hard, it's a balance that I've had to actually take a step back and kind of feel what I'm feeling in the morning. Like, am I sore? Am I fatigued? Am I hurting? And right. kind of analyzing that to see like what I'm going to attack that day. It's not easy, and it hasn't gotten easier for me, especially during this time. Cause again, like I want to overcompensate cause I'm not yeah. having those 2.5 hour practices. But it's honestly just listening to your body and making sure that you're working out because it feels good and not working totally. Out because you want to hurt yourself or totally. You don't like how you look.
Totally. I mean, yeah, that's what the main thing for me that I've realized in quarantine too, because I'm used to the same thing where you go and you're doing these 2 hour intense practices and you're burning, good Lord, thousands of calories. And then coming from that to being home and it's like, I go for a walk and like, that's exercise, but like, yeah, because that feels good for my body.
Yes, exactly. And it's tough too. And I won't lie, I have fallen into it, but everyone is pretty eager to make sure that others know they're working out and they post it. Like right. I've posted it.
Oh yeah. Me too.
And it's tough because it feels good. I feel accomplished. So that's one side of it. But the other side is like, I know there's people out there that are probably eating and looking at this post and like feel gross, or right. they're like, oh, Molly's annoying, or like, oh, like I need to work out now because I saw this. But that's not the case. Like that's not how people should react. And, you know, honestly, I've noticed, like, if I see something that might be a little bit triggering for me on Instagram, like, I notice, like, either I mute the person or I mute the account or I completely unfollow them because, I mean, like, you're in control of your social media too, you know? So make sure that it's healthy.
Just kind of finding, I feel like the big thing is finding that balance and just kind of trusting it. It's so hard and it takes time to learn. And I mean, we're both still learning every single day, but there's hope for it. And there's light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
For sure. Absolutely. It's just giving yourself time and being patient.
Right.
That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
And there's no time like now when we have endless time.
God, that's such a terrifying sentence.
I know. We never know when it's gonna end.
Hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon. Yeah, I'm hoping the next time I see you, we'll be out on the court playing. That would be great.
Oh gosh, I hope so. Yes. That would be amazing.
I know. Well, Molly, thank you so much for not only taking the time, but being so candid about such a difficult subject to talk about.
Thank you for having me, seriously. Absolutely. I love this topic, so I could talk for hours.
Oh my gosh, okay, great. Well, then we'll have to put in the schedule for another topic because I could too. We'll do another episode.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Molly. I just want to end saying thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the podcast. I know that this subject matter is really tough for a lot of people to talk about. And like I said at the beginning, it's a little bit taboo to talk about in the world of beach volleyball because we're so frequently on display for everyone to look at. But I just wanted to say that if anyone is struggling with any of the topics that were brought up today in the conversation with Molly, please always feel free to reach out to me. I'm one Instagram DM message, or I'm sure you can get my phone number from someone. So don't ever hesitate to reach out, and I'm more than happy to discuss this stuff with everyone. And thank you so much again for listening, and I guess I'll not see you, but you'll hear me in the next episode. Bye, everyone.